Joanna is going to come up and share our Bible reading this morning. Thanks, Joanna.
The widow's offering. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow putting two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you. I title my messages, some preachers, people do, some don't. I always title my message. My title today is simply this: don't ignore the small things. Don't ignore the small things. Let me read you a true story entitled Just a Hyphen. Some time ago, a newspaper read, missing hyphen blamed in rocket failure. It was hard to believe that a small hyphen in a computer readout caused the destruction of a huge, powerful, expensive missile. Perhaps you've heard the old proverb, for want of a nail, a horseshoe was lost. For want of a horseshoe, a rider was lost. For want of a rider, a battle was lost. For want of a battle, a war was lost. The loss of the war, in other words, was connected to the loss of a nail. Apparently, that was the case here. On the day in question, a Venus space probe launched vehicle, boosted by an $18 million US Atlas rocket, was lost because a hyphen was missing from a computer equation. Richard Morrison of NASA told the House Space Committee investigating the incident that a missing hyphen had caused a mathematical miscue. Said Morrison, the hyphen gives a cue for the spacecraft to ignore the data the computer feeds to it until the radar connects and once again restored. Whatever that means. When that hyphen is left out, false information is fed into the spacecraft control system. In this case, the computer fed it hard left, nose down, and the vehicle obeyed. Who left out the hyphen? Morrison either didn't know or wasn't saying, but the speculation was the mistake was some senior official with advanced degrees in PhD in celestial navigation. Seemingly small things can often still be very important and can often still make a big difference. Certainly, I think, in the kingdom of God. I think in some ways that was a little bit of our Bible reading, wasn't it, of the widow's offering. She wasn't putting in as much as some of the others, but it was out of what she had. It's all that she had. And what I love about that Bible reading is that Jesus noticed her. Jesus saw her. Saw her in some ways, the worldly could say, might look at her and think, well, it's nothing important. It was little compared to who was giving a lot. But Jesus noticed her little because of where it came from. So our Bible reading is based a little bit for this message today. But alongside that, I want to have this Bible verse as well. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 says this. So whatever you do, whether eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I love that verse, and I think that's a real important verse to us. Whatever we do, whether even just eating or drinking, do it for the glory of God. And I hope in some ways this message today continues to fit into this theme of discipleship, which we're doing really through church and through this Practicing the Way course, I think hopefully adds into this whole thing about what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus. So, my first point is this. I often have points, and I title them as well to help me in my structure. So my first point is entitled, Every Task Important. You know, in the Old Testament, in Exodus, God's people are in the wilderness. Most of you know the story of them coming out of Egypt, going through the Red Sea, going into the wilderness. They were a wandering people, and they were heading towards the promised land. But while they were in the desert, God gave them an instruction. He gave them instruction to build the tabernacle. Now, what's the tabernacle? Well, the tabernacle is this very big tent, basically. And it's where the presence of God was going to dwell. It was a kind of a pre-thing to the temple that eventually was going to be built in Jerusalem. So God says, while you're wandering around the desert, I want you to build and have in place this tabernacle, this place of worship, this holy place where my presence will dwell. But one of the issues here was because they were a wandering people, the tabernacle obviously needed transporting. You know, I can totally sympathize with the people of Israel here because I know a lot about putting down and putting up tents and our holidays. So I think their tent was a little bit bigger. This tabernacle was a little bit more elaborate than our tent. But as a wandering people, this tabernacle had to go with them as they wandered through the desert towards the promised land. The task of looking after the tabernacle, putting it down, putting it back up and in, transporting it, was given to the Levi clan, or the Levi tribe, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. So the Levites were given the task, but they broke the task down upon among themselves, among the different clans that made up the Levi tribe. The Kohites clan were given the task of carrying the most holy parts of the tabernacle. The Moronite clan were given the assignment to carry the tent pegs and the ropes. Now you might ask, which was the most important to God? Which mattered most? Which came with the biggest prestige? Well, I think the answer to those questions, I think, is it doesn't matter. Because in the end, both assignments were from God. And both were necessary for the glory of God. Because when you read Exodus 40 verse 34, it just says this. Thinking about the tabernacle, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I don't think it mattered to God really. Or which heard that, you know, think, well, I'm more important than you because I'm carrying these holy parts through the desert as we wander. Or the Maronites thinking, well, I've just got the tent pegs and the ropes. But the thing about it is, all those parts were important to build the tabernacle so that the glory of God could fill the tabernacle and be present among God's people. Every task important. So what can we say? Well, we're all different. We've said that already this morning. We're different in our character, in our abilities, in our talents, in our gifts. And we will all end up with different responsibilities, with different assignments, with different God-orchestrated purposes and plans. We will all have different tasks. And that will be partly in church, you know, and that's what happens. Some people are given the task to be on the door. Some make coffee. Some are leading worship. Some are on the cleaning rota. Some help with Fair Share, our food bank. Some up here preaching. We have these different tasks and assignments, even within our church community. But I think also those tasks are different outside of this four walls of a building church. And we're going to talk a lot more about that in a minute. I believe what matters is not what is the most important, who gets the prestige. What matters is what we do for the glory of our God. So my second point then is this: every seed, a deed. Every seed, a deed. You know, a few weeks ago, I shared about the parable of the sower in church and the power of God's seeds that are being, that are scattered. But as I was, the week after that message, I was looking in my Bible reading notes, and this title came up, Every Deed, a Seed. And it was talking about trying to ask God to make every deed, what we do, a seed for God's kingdom, even in the smallest things. And in the notes, it gave some examples about this guy, for example, who used to go about his day, and he would whistle hymns for his own enjoyment and his own pleasure and his own worship. But then the story unfolded how somebody became a Christian because they'd heard him whistling hymns as he went about his daily lives. What a great story. Or there was a story about a guy who had donated anonymously, really, some money to the Gideons so that some people on a basketball team could have a Gideon Bible, and how one of these people on the basketball team became a Christian and became a kind of a high-profile Christian in that place just because the guy gave some money so that they could have a Bible. And I like that. And he quoted one of my favourite stories about this farmer who asked his farmer friend to drive the truck so that they could, so him and his mates could go to a Christian crusade. And the driver of the truck, who wasn't a Christian, obviously he was really pleased that he was asked to drive the truck because he didn't drive much and he wanted to drive the truck. And he says, well, I'll drive the truck, but I'm not going into the crusade with you and your mates, but I'll drive you there. But when he got there, he thought, oh, well, I might as well go in. I've got a few hours to kill. And so he went into the crusade. And in fact, he went back every night. And he became a Christian as part of the crusade. What a great story. But the guy who was driving the truck, who became a Christian at the crusade, was a guy called Billy Graham. And I also love that story because it was because of his mate who just said, would you drive the truck for us? Like, if you don't have to go in if you don't want to. But just those seeds, what God might do. You know, the Bible reminds us, doesn't it, that a small seed sown in the kingdom of God can do great work. Matthew 17, verse 20. A seed of faith, it says, can move a mountain. You know, a small seed in the kingdom of God can do an amazing work. You know, we just don't know, do we, how God might and can and will use a small seed of faith, a small seed of service, a small seed of prayer, a small seed of inviting your friend along to church, a small seed of an act of kindness. We just don't know how God might use a small seed planted in the kingdom of God. Sometimes we get the privilege of seeing that seed used by God, and we see the result of what happens to it. But many times we might not see what happens to that seed, that prayer we prayed, that little act of kindness that we did somewhere. We might not see the result of it. But you know what? That's okay. That doesn't matter. We sow the seed. We leave it in God's capable hands. What's important is what we do for the glory of God. Every seed, a deed. The next part of my talk and little title is this: Strive to Please. Let me read you this story. I liked it. It says this: a young man told his mentor, my parents thought I would go into the ministry, but I'm working in a mobile phone store. His mentor said, but you are in the ministry. The phone company may not realise this, but they're paying you to be a chaplain in that shop. You are able to serve Christ there. Consider yourself in the ministry of caring for mobile phone users and fellow employers. That's a pretty large congregation. I love that story. Because sometimes we think those in ministry are those that are paid by the church somehow to do the work. But what this guy was saying to the guy who said, look, my parents thought I was going to be in ministry, maybe paid by the church, be an evangelist or a preacher. And the guy is, I think, just so wise to say, but you are in ministry in the mobile. In fact, actually, you probably have got, you'll meet more people that need Jesus than the guy who stands up front of the church every Sunday and talks about it. What a great place. And we don't always see ourselves like that, do we? But it's so important that we do. You see, being a disciple of Jesus is about where we are, wherever we are, whenever we are, with whoever we are. That's not easy to say, you know that. Being a disciple of Jesus is where we are, whenever. Oh, no. Where we are, wherever we are, whenever we are, with whoever we are. There you go. Something like that. Or there's the other way of putting it, but like the TV advert, anytime, any place, anywhere. What was that for? Was that Martini, wasn't it? Okay, a Martini. Other drinks are available. But this being a disciple of Jesus, being in ministry for Jesus, is about all of that. It can't just be in church. It has to also be in our jobs, in our roles, in our relationships, in the different groups that we attend outside of church, in our community, in our society. And I think sometimes we don't all recognize that. And I think it's really important to say it from up front, because I think we have to acknowledge that, you know, where you are on most of your week, 24/7 out and about, not in here, is where you plant the church. Your feet are planting the church. You're being in ministry in Asda, Dan. Dan's a chaplain at Asda. Did you know that? He might seem stacking chairs, stacking the shelves and looking out. But he's, you know, I mean, wherever you are, we're in ministry for Jesus. LICC talk about it as whole life discipleship. What's important is what we do for the glory of our God. So I think it's really important today to just think about sometimes the small things that we can do, if we plant them as seeds in the kingdom of God, what God might want to do in and through us. And we don't want to take away those things. We need to acknowledge those things, and we need to be excited about those things in our daily walk with Jesus. But my final point then is this. For some, there may be a different calling. You know, I would be happy to be a peg carrier for Jesus if that is what he's asking for me to do. If that's what God wants for me, if that's what God wants for you, then shouldn't we not just be happy to be a peg carrier for Jesus? Absolutely. But what if God wants you or me to do something else? What if God wants you or me to carry something bigger? Maybe a pole or something instead. See, the Bible talks about the fact that when we're faithful in small things, what will often God will do is give us a responsibility with more things. And I just wonder for some here today, if there is a different, and I kind of put in quotation, bigger God ask on you at the moment. Are you meant to be carrying something heavier? Are you meant to be doing something different? For some, God might be calling you to step into a deep, what we call deeper waters sometimes. Be part of something new. Even to start something new, to lead something. You know, and it might be in church. You know, we all have gifts and qualities and talents and gifts. Maybe God wants you to start a new ministry here at our church. Maybe you've got something to offer into that who we are here at Chadderton Community Church, so we can be stronger and extend God more. You know, maybe some of you have got a passion for something and said, look, could we look at this as a church? You know, what we do is what we do. We try and do it well, but that doesn't mean we can't do other things and new things and more things. And maybe God is putting on your heart a calling to shift you into something else. Or it may be outside of church. It may be outside of sort of just being in the church, you know, in your work or in your community, or just God wants you to get something going somewhere else. You know, whatever, it could be anything. But I wonder if sometimes we ask the question, are we prepared to ask the question, God, what would you like me to carry in this season? And God might say, just carry what I'm asking you to carry and carry it well. Awesome, do it for God's glory. But sometimes God says, actually, I've got something else for you to carry, something else for you to be and do. And we have to ask that question of God, or else how are we going to know? And maybe just for some people today, that's a question that you might need to ask. I'm thinking about my journey. I still remember that in my own church, when I grew up in Harrogate, in a Methodist church in Harrogate, I think my first task in church, after, you know, grew up in the Sunday school and things like that, my first task was to be on the door. I remember being asked to be on the door and give out the books, the hymn books, as it was then, you know. And I remember doing that, and that was great. And if God wants me to do that, I wanted to do that. But then God has journeyed, taken me into different things. Yeah, I've had the privilege of being called out of that secular work, and I felt it was a God calling to go and do a year out, and then I went to work in London, and I ended up in Oldham for 3 years. 30 years later, I can't get out, but that's just God's sense. That's just God's sense of humour. But then, working at the Methodist Church, then going on to do the Salt Cellar Youth Project. And, you know, I mean, come on, what am I doing here? I mean, coming here, I mean, it's nearly 17 years. What is that all about? That's God's sense of humour, isn't it? You know, but, and certainly what I'm not saying is, because if I'm honest, at the time being on the door and my time stood here, I don't think God says I've got any more importance here than I was with on the door, or any more prestige. I'm certainly not trying to put myself in any more important place. What I'm saying is that God might sometimes take us on a journey, and he wants us to do different things in different seasons of our lives. You know, so it could be, you know, Wendy, you on the door today, a few years. And Jen and Georgia and Emma. I don't know, but for some, God might be saying, look, what we need to do is recognize what we can do with what we have. And we want to do what we have, we want to give it to the glory of God, don't we? You know, whether it's serving behind the counter, whether it's being in our families, whether it's, you know, the roles that we have, the relationships that surround our lives, trying to be Christ in those places, sowing the seeds of the gospel, living for Jesus in those places. But alongside that, God sometimes calls people out. You know, who's to say the next Billy Graham's not sat in this room? Why not? You know, I don't think Billy Graham, when he got in the truck and said, "Well, I'll drive you to the meeting," he didn't expect that one day he'd be stood in front of hundreds of thousands of people proclaiming the word of Jesus. But God knew, and God called him eventually into that place. Whatever we do, what's important is what we do. I think is that we do it for the glory of our God, who deserves all the glory. Wherever we are, whenever we are, with whoever we are. Let's be martini Christians, whatever that looks like. Let me pray. Dear God, I just pray that you speak into us today. Well, I think there's some people who think, well, I don't do a lot, because what they think is they don't do big things. Well, actually, it's not always about the big things, because you can use smaller things to do amazing things. I remember that boy who brought a little packed lunch to you, and you fed 5,000 plus people with it. Well, you call us to put ourselves in your hands. You call us to be a people who have a desire to live our life in a way which worships you and proclaims you. We so often talk about, not about ability, but about availability. But we know we've all got ability, because the Bible tells us in each of us there are gifts and talents and personality and uniqueness which you can use. Lord, we pray that we would not let go of the small things or what might seem small. And we might celebrate the seeds that we plant through our daily lives, wherever we are. And we pray that you would use them to build your kingdom and to bring people into your presence. But also, Lord, maybe for some today, there's even a call to say, I've got something different for you to carry. Something new, maybe even bigger, in a way of responsibility. Lord, help us not to shy away. Help us to be open. And help us to step forward, knowing that when you call, you always equip. And anything you call us to, Lord, we don't do it on our own. You are with us. Lord, here we are. Could you use us, whatever that looks like, for your glory and for the sake of your kingdom? In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have communion today, and as a way of responding, we always do